This episode of Gilmore Guys is dedicated to Maggie in Boston. Maggie's a listener, a comedian, and a huge Gilly, and we want to send this one out to her because it's one of her favorites. So, Maggie, this one's for you.
What was that thing you saw on Twitter where it's like, my John Travolta is like if Christopher Walken...
If you want to hear a really good impression of John Travolta trying not to puke, ask me to do my Christopher Walken impression.
Can I hear Christopher Walken?
This is going to be our cold open?
No, it won't be.
I feel like that's the best place. All right. Oh, my Walken is like doing a voice that isn't very good. It's not great.
Uh-oh.
No!
La la episode 317. A tale of hose and fire. It's before hose, oh yeah. Hose and fire.
What the Raven? Da. Nevermore. Oh, yeah. Welcome to Gilmore, guys.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore guys.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys.
Guys, thank you.
No, I'm not going to get
it. That'd be fun. Thank you for joining us for another week on Gilmore Guys. This is the first show we're recording since we put tickets on sale for our live show at the UCB Sunset in a couple weeks on the 27th, April the 27th at 7 p.m. And it has, for some reason, sold out, which is cool and really awesome. For anyone that didn't get tickets, we're going to try to do a thing. We talked to the theater, and we're going to try to do a thing either like a couple days before the show, drop some more tickets. Maybe we can like release, I don't know how many more. It just depends on like comps and stuff. But drop a few more tickets. But then if you don't get those online that way, there will be a wait list, and they're going to cram in as many people as possible to see this once-in-a-lifetime event that'll never be repeated, although we might do another one next month.
Don't say it'll never be repeated, because then we'll get a lot of people going, what the fuck?
A lot of hate mail.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we don't have a live show. We have a recorded show to do, which is different. It's kind of the opposite.
It's the exact opposite, I'd say.
I can edit out all the bleeps and bloops, all the F words, and all the C bombs. And yeah, we don't have to worry about it.
Which we say a lot of, the C-bombs.
The C-bombs have gotten out of hand.
They really have.
Like, the last episode was 4 hours long with C-bombs, and without, it was like an hour 10.
It was like watching The Godfather on a plane.
Yeah, I think that's a similar experience, but let's stop dilly-dallying around and introduce our guest, who we all know. But how do we know him? Well, I'm going to tell you right now.
La la, la la. Special guest.
Well, you know this gentleman from this very show. He's been on before. He works for BuzzFeed. He's wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Lewis Heitzman.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on?
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
One of my favorite things about doing the guest intro on the show is like try to coming at it like super hydrated. It's this person.
Yeah.
And then I've always seen the way in which they come back where they're like, hey, what's going on? And they like slip on.
I'm just not that high energy.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. I'm drinking coffee right now. Give me like a, how long does it take for caffeine to kick in?
24 hours.
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
Look, we're no scientists.
No,
we're
yeah. Not.
Okay. Well, it's a Keurig, so it might take longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, I don't know how Keurigs work, but
that's my favorite short story, The Red Badge of Keurig.
Mm-hmm. Same. I was
already off to a great start.
Yeah, I was talking about how Keurigs are destroying the environment.
Yeah, because they can't dispose of the little
cups. They can't recycle the cups.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel terrible drinking this. But then I thought, what would Lorelai do?
WWLD, bro.
She would go for the... If there were only one type of coffee...
She would drink the Keurig, and then Luke would be like, well, you know, those the cups just destroy the environment.
Is that like Christopher Walken doing Luke?
Yeah.
Lorelai.
Lorelai. The cups. The environment.
It's such a stretch. I love it.
I'm trying.
We're all about stretches here. And we're getting into the home stretch of this season, guys. This is episode 317.
Oh, man.
A Tale of Pose.
And Fire.
And Fire. The Netflix synopsis for this episode is what I'm pulling up right now. When a meeting of the Edgar Allan Poe Society at her inn is interrupted by a minor fire, Lorelai must find rooms for the guests at homes around town.
Minor fire?
Yeah. It was a major fire.
Didn't seem too minor to me.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was under 18. Maybe that's what they were saying.
Oh.
It seemed small when we got there because it was just kind of like, oh, everything's fine. And then they go inside and it's like, I lied. Everything's ruined.
Yeah. It's all.
Maybe Netflix didn't want to spoil the ending.
Yeah.
For the first time ever.
No, usually they like to spoil everything.
Yeah. They're big spoilers.
They're usually like, just kissed Rory. They're in it. Oh, there was a wedding too.
Yeah. So let's get into the episode the way we always do, with a segment we call Pop
Goes
the
Culture,
where we take every single pop culture reference in the show and put them together in a supercut and listen back, laugh, scoff, guffaw, analyze, and go deep. So this is episode 317, A Tale Pose and Fire, Pop Goes the Culture.
There will be a complimentary cask of Amontillado on the table in your room, and if you're expecting your friends Dr. Tarr and Professor Feather, I'll send up another one. You said you were with the Poe Society.
Yeah, but it's just a hobby. We're not Trekkies.
I
talk
love
about
Mira
Scordino a lot.
Try and make it home time for Charlie Rose. Billy Joel's on, and he might cry or something.
Okay.
Varan?
Every place that sounds like Glinda the Good Witch threw up, yes, all booked.
This isn't General Hospital. I don't deserve General Hospital.
I am the Lonely Wanderer. Hank Williams would be too sad to write a song about me.
I was flipping through Harvard class schedules when you were still delighting to the adventures of Gumby and Pokey.
I was more of a Pee Wee Herman kind of gal.
It's a Mickey Mouse stuff anyway.
Might as well record the new Justin Timberlake over this.
We have a document the length of Nicholas Nickleby here.
Start the fire, put Phil Spector up to it.
Proust wrote all 3,000 pages of In Search of Lost Time in bed.
I was Ricardo Montalban's receptionist for 6 months, and he never complained.
Hey, Sherry Lewis, how's the show going?
Stella!
You get to see the next Meryl Streep, all goofy and 18.
My parents are away, so I've been totally Howard Hughes-ing it.
Well, as they say on The Family Feud, good answer.
Good answer.
What? Okay, did anyone else look up Mira Sorvino, Harvard?
Yeah, I didn't figure it out.
I just figured she went kind of like Natalie Portman went to.
She did go to Harvard, but I did not know that. She went for a year.
I neither.
Oh, maybe that was the talk of the town when this episode
I bet
came
it
out.
Was.
Because this came out in 2003.
I just thought, like, what a weird reference.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the show's references are always on point.
Yeah, totally.
But they get a little kooky sometimes. I know. I was trying to be facetious. It didn't really work.
Facetious.
You know what? The coffee is just kicking in. And,
boom.
I Googled Mira Sorvino Harvard because I watch with a computer just for these references.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did you find?
I found that she went to Harvard and also can speak Mandarin.
Oh, okay.
Good for her.
Maybe she learned it there.
I don't think she did. I think it was another fun fact about Mira Sorvino.
Oh, okay.
But
that's what they were all talking about at Harvard. Just like, did you know that she speaks Mandarin?
All I know about Mira Sorvino is that she was in that Woody Allen movie.
Mighty Aphrodite.
And she won an Oscar for it? Or she was nominated?
I don't think she won
can you
an
just,
Oscar.
Can we look it up and then pause it and you edit it like we just knew already?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that. Oh, she won the Academy Award and the Golden Globe for Mighty Aphrodite.
I knew that.
Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. We all knew that. That's great. Speaking of colleges, guys, Rory's going to Yale.
She is probably.
You think is probably?
No, I mean, like, I know she is, but I wanted it to be like, oh, Demi doesn't know because he's...
I thought you were unspoiled.
He is unspoiled, but in this episode, she makes the decision that she's going to Harvard.
I feel like you're a little spoiled.
I'm probably spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you knew that she was going to Yale
before this? I didn't, but now I'm like, oh, she's probably going to Yale.
Well, yeah, it's not a big fake out. They're not going to fake you out twice.
I'm just saying, like, it would be a fake out if she's like, you know what? I'm not going to go to college, but that would just be a bad...
I'm going to community college.
Just community college, yeah.
I'm going to Central Connecticut State with Dean. What does he say? He's so jazzed about it.
Oh.
I mean, we both went to a state school, so I don't know what we're talking
about. Yeah, but it's the way he says it.
He sounds like he got into Yale as well.
It's adorable, and it's good for him. But at the same time, if he said that when they were together, I would have been like, oh, Dean.
Uh-oh.
Reach for the stars, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And even if you miss, you'll land on the moon. What's that quote?
He won't.
Close enough.
Shoot for the moon, and even if you miss, you'll land the stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, whoever said that doesn't know how astronomy works. So she's going to Yale.
Also, before we get off pop culture,
yeah.
I love that a season or two ago, they were talking about NSYNC.
Because mm-hmm.
NSYNC was current then, and now it's Justin Timberlake.
I don't think I realized his solo career started so early.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, it started in 2002.
I guess.
When was his first album?
Justified?
Yeah. I think that was 2003 or 2004.
I think so.
Oh, no.
How the time flies. I really didn't know it was that early.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
He got out and he just started right away.
Do you think Zayn will do the same thing?
Zayn's already released his first single on accident.
And it's just as popular.
Yeah, really, he's the new Timberlake.
Yeah, I think we can all agree to that. Any other pop culture stuff that was weird? All the Poe stuff, I didn't put all of it in because that's like the whole episode.
I was actually hoping there would be more homages
to Poe.
To Poe.
In the episode.
Yeah, I think they could have gone a little bit like farther with that.
Well, it was weird that like... For a society that's like the Poe society, like we love Edgar Allan Poe, we're gonna go deep, blah, blah, blah. That
it's just the Raven.
That, yeah, two dudes pick the Raven, which is like, let's go to, I don't know, a Bruce Springsteen tribute concert and we're all playing Born to Run. You know what I mean?
Do it again.
2, 3, 4.
I mean, the guy was like, oh, wait, it's a hobby, but it's like you went to a convention, like people are dressing up. Like, let's admit that we're like, you know.
Yeah,
everyone, we're super into Poe.
Everyone needs to chill out, by the way, about Lorelai's jokes. She strikes out like two or three times in a row.
And she's trying so hard.
Mm-hmm. And she wants to be accommodating, and she's lovely, and she has a great...
See, that's why I think she would be the stand-up comic in the town, like who's like going to open mics, because she's trying very hard mm-hmm. to land these jokes.
That'd be so embarrassing.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, okay, so she's going to Yale after... 2.5 seasons of build-up. Harvard, 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 Harvard.
Do you feel like Lorelai gave up very easily? Mm-hmm. Like, there were episodes where she was fighting with Richard, just like, she's going to Harvard,
She pushed Yale real fast. Yeah. Like, it was weird.
Because the last time this has come up, it was in the Thanksgivings, the Billion Thanksgivings episodes. Or it might have come up since then. But that was the last time that there was like a big conflict between Lorelai and Rory about it. Lorelai was very adamant, like, no, you're not going to Yale, blah, blah, blah. It's Harvard. It's always been Harvard.
I mean, I feel like she could have easily sabotaged that pro-con list
mm-hmm.
to weight it toward the school she wanted.
It was interesting that her transformation and her perspective shift happened off camera, that we don't see it. Like, yeah, it's Yale, honey, it's Yale. And also, guys... That in the middle of the night, in the midst of chaos,
she puts up all of those flags.
She puts up flag, like the Harvard wall becomes a Yale wall, to the point where she takes a picture of Rory's cutout head.
Puts it in a sweatshirt. And she's like, "Oh yeah, go. Let's go to the inn."
I don't know what Yale memorabilia stores are open. Maybe she drove to Hartford. Maybe she, you know, that's because Luke was snoring at his place and Jess was. Drooling or being horrible.
I thought Jess was snoring.
I thought they were both snoring.
Was Jess snoring too?
Well, because she tells Rory your boyfriend snores.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm dumb. You guys are right.
Unless Rory's also dating Luke. I mean...
I don't know. Would you guys be into that pairing?
No.
Oh, I wouldn't not be into it.
Do you like...
They have about as much chemistry as Lorelai and Luke. Oh.
Oh.
Do you think so? Oh. You don't think Lorelai and Luke have chemistry?
No.
Really?
Ooh. I think they have chemistry, but I'm sick of the... Will they, won't they of it? Like, I think they should be dating already and then break up in 2 seasons.
Right, so this is interesting because in this episode, we talked about, and we were pretty critical about the dream sequence in the first episode of this season.
Right.
The cold open of this season.
The cheat.
The cheat, yeah, exactly. Like the way Ross and Rachel kiss in the first season finale of Friends. It was a dream sequence. It was a cheat. And you, I think you said on the episode, a listener pointed out, like, well, it's pointless because they never reference it again. And I was like, yeah, because I guess I forgot. But they did reference in this episode. So Lorelai, for some reason, tells Luke, yeah, I had a dream that you were talking to my stomach and we were married.
Haven't you ever? I've done that before. Like, awkwardly mentioned, like, dreams I've had about people.
Romantic,
sexual dreams. Just me?
Well, I never remember my dreams, so I'm just kind of like, maybe you were
It's hard to remember your dreams.
I think it's actually, I think it's actually a flirting technique. I don't know if she intentionally is doing it that way, but, like, when you're like, I had a dream we were married, and, like, I loved you so much.
We're having a child together.
It's a weird, like, flirting technique.
I feel like it's a strong flirt.
But you're gauging their reaction. You're seeing, like, how freaked out they are if they're kind of like, hey, I also sometimes dream about us having a family and talking to your belly.
And the answer, I mean, because his face at that moment, he's like, oh, yeah? Then what happened?
Well, we're married?
This goofy grin, yeah.
I love how she goes, like, oh, yeah, did I not mention that? Like, no.
Which, by the way, in that dream sequence, she's not wearing a wedding ring. So, continuity.
Extramarital affair.
Gilmore Goof.
I think she just assumed she was married.
Yeah. Because who would have a child out of wedlock? That's so
not in that
sinful
town.
And unbiblical.
Well, I guess Lorelai.
Yeah. Boom, boom,
was that
boom.
Your joke?
What's that?
That she had a child out of wedlock?
Kind of.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And then, otherwise, so that was the big show. I guess there was two major plot points in this episode. Sometimes we complain that some episodes are real fillery Clinton. But in this one, the inn is burnt and damaged, maybe beyond repair, maybe not.
No, they'll fix it.
They'll fix it? Okay. And then Rory is going to Yale. So those are some things that progress.
I have to say, like, I don't know. Gilmore Girls is one of those weird shows, though, that I don't mind the filler. Because I feel like I sort of miss shows that are so populated by, like, fun characters and dialogue that you don't really care that nothing happens.
Right.
We don't have a lot of those anymore. And, like, I kind of, I don't know, I admire that. Like,
I think we don't have those anymore because now seasons are so much shorter, so there's no time.
They're not always, though. I mean, like, network shows are, like, 22.
I guess so, yeah.
But I think we also expect a lot more, like, plot-driven shows, and it's very hard to kind of, like, get people. We cancel shows a lot more easily. There's so much to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really afford to have a show that, like, drags things out in a really, like, Gilmore Girls-y way.
It's true.
Because people won't watch it, and it'll get canceled.
Like Bunheads, R.I.P.
All right.
What?
No, I'm sad. But
it is. It's a very sad
I know.
Thing.
But I think it's true though. It's hard to you have to kind of do more. It has to be more high concept and more action driven.
Mm-hmm.
Because people want to watch it. Like they want to. You know, they have so many choices, and they can only watch so much. I think it kind of forces people's hands.
Like going to what you're saying about just you want to watch fun characters just be. And not necessarily, like, get into, like, crazy plots and entanglements. Probably one of my favorite scenes in this episode was Babette, Miss Patty, and Michelle.
Trying to work a computer?
Yep.
So good.
Oh, my gosh.
What happens if I hit the F4 and the control and the Apple button?
Which I feel like
it's going crazy.
It's a direct quote from Amy Sherman-Palladino.
There was a Babette quote in this episode that is still haunting me.
Which is what?
When she says, we got cots. Ooh, we got cots.
I can too. We got cots. Ooh, we got cots.
Oh. It's like you knew.
I did.
You knew. It's like, I don't know. It won't stop playing.
Ooh, we got cots.
We got cots.
Because what's the implication there? Like, oh boy, we got cots.
I don't even know if she knows why she's excited. That's what's so weird. It's like she's so into it. No one's ever been that excited about a cot before.
Like, did Babette and Maury's place used to be a hostel? Is that why they have so many cots? I really don't know, like, what
for
the
when,
idea is.
Their marriage isn't doing so well, they've got cots for them to sleep.
If I wrote fanfic, I would have so much to write about, like, the side characters and their backstories.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get these little hints, and you're like, this is so tantalizing.
Yeah, like, Bebe got pushed out of a movie.
I mean, I have a whole arc in my mind about Mrs. Slutsky.
Oh, yeah, Miss Slutsky.
What a name!
Choice name.
Which, is she ever mentioned again?
No.
She's never been seen before, right?
She's never seen before, and correct me if I'm wrong, Gillies, but I don't think you ever seen her.
She lives next to Luke.
Yeah. You think that'd come up.
And, like, in my mind, the way I interpreted it is, like, she's in love with Luke. She's been in love with Luke for years. And so she's upset about being woken up, but she's also, like, extra resentful because...
It's Lorelai,
and she's jealous. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of imagine, like, this whole, like, sort of like how Fifty Shades started as, like, a Twilight fanfic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm imagining this whole, like trilogy of books about her. A little BDSM, a little... I don't know, some Luke fantasy stuff.
I'm imagining a Misery situation where she kidnaps Luke.
That seems, yeah.
All right, well, I like mine more. But I think either way, there's still a lot to explore there.
It could what be you, Misery meets 50 Shades.
How do you think Miss Slutsky reacted when Luke just tore down one of his walls?
I think she was cross.
Well, she was at first excited about it because she thought it was going to be like that scene in Body Heat where William Hurt throws the chair through
Great
the
reference.
Window, right? And I know, right? And so she was excited at first, and then she realized, oh, no, he's just expanding. He's not trying to get to me.
I'm just thinking about her, sorry.
I'm just thinking about Body Heat, which is a for real good
movie.
Wait,
so it's Miss Slutsky?
Yeah.
Or is it Mrs.?
Well, I think it's Mrs. Slutsky.
I thought it was Mrs. And so I was like, oh, she's married?
Yeah, well, that's part of the hotness, right? Because it's like so wrong, you know? What?
Nothing.
What, I shouldn't trivialize adultery and make it hot?
No, I say go for it. Okay, everyone cool. Watch The Affair on Showtime.
Don't do that.
Starring...
don't watch The Affair or don't plug The Affair?
Oh, I meant don't watch The Affair. Oh,
okay.
I watched The Affair.
Not a fan?
I liked the pilot.
With Sasha. Is she good on it? I haven't seen it.
She is good.
I bet she's great.
She is good. Don't let her know that
Sasha from
Bunhead. Cut this out.
We can cut this out.
No, we won't.
Maybe. Do you like, well, speaking to that scene, do you like how Lorelai goes from talking on the phone with her daughter to throwing rocks at Luke's window to get his attention? Instead of dialing him on same said phone.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Lorelai romanticizes things. Like, she's way too into being a nomad.
Yeah.
Like, when she's like, she could have easily like found a place to stay. But
or just
instead,
sleep on
she
the
like,
floor.
Yeah, but she's like, I'm going to carry my pillow and blanket and like wander the town.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, granted, if I lived in a town as safe as Stars Hollow, like, I would enjoy that kind of like random night wandering.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But she's a little bit of a drama queen here.
Totally.
She's like making a big deal out of this.
But she, not even a drama queen in that she's upset, but she's just kind of like embracing the situation.
Also, Shirley Babette has an extra cot for her.
Yeah.
They have so many cots.
I mean.
Oh, we got cots. Oh. We got cots.
That was worth it. That was worth the build-up.
Also, Lorelai is like the queen of Stars Hollow. They threw her a big engagement party. She can knock on any door and just be like, I'm sleeping here tonight.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't lift her by, like, chair.
Yeah.
I have to say, I mean, like, it's actually, like, it's inappropriate. Like, they kind
of... To crash at Luke's?
Yeah. I mean, he has a girlfriend. She, like, she knows on some level it's, like, not right. Mm-hmm. You know? And, like, the fact that he doesn't tell his girlfriend about it, like, it's not really cool.
Yeah, and it's weird, too. I think the continuity of this is kind of a retcon, because in this episode, he's like, oh, yeah, I brought you up on the first date, and she, you know, I brought you up again and again and again, and it didn't go well, blah, blah, blah. But then we saw, like, right after their first date, and they were perfectly pleasant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Nicole wasn't weird with Lorelai at all when they come back to the diner after going to New York or whatever they did.
Maybe she, like, had a twinge of weirdness, and then he just kept, on subsequent dates, kept talking about
her.
Yeah,
what a dummy, by the way.
Well, yeah. But I don't know. I just feel like Lorelai, I don't know. It's like she plays it so innocent, but maybe she's like this horrible boyfriend stealer.
Well, this is kind of a rehash of the Rachel plot from season one, isn't it? Because in season one, Rachel, Luke's very attractive photographer friend with the great hair, with the great curly hair.
Marry her, why don't you?
Well, I might. Is also hung up on the fact that Luke is hung up on Lorelai.
Right.
Fair, right? And now we're kind of getting that again.
It's going to happen with every one of Luke's girlfriends.
Until
what?
Until, I don't know. I was going to say until Luke and Lorelai maybe
we
get together.
We don't know if they get together.
But I was trying to imagine like a darker ending, like until Luke cuts Lorelai out of his life for being a... You know, an interloper.
If that happened, if he was just like, I love this girl so much that I gotta get you out of my life, I would be like, whoa, this show took a turn and
dark.
I'm for
That's
it.
Like Showtime. That's like The Affair territory.
Yeah.
Affair territory? Yep. So true. That's also true. It is kind of sweet, like the whole storyline of the town coming together and banding, like, oh yeah, we'll take people in, and like, I think it's really
it's a dream come true.
Yeah, it's like a really pleasant story to watch.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to watch. Like, you know, we got God. I can take some people in.
I wish we had seen Michelle like begrudgingly take people in.
Right.
How does Michelle maintain that attitude living in Stars Hollow? I don't understand.
I don't. Maybe does he live in Stars Hollow? Because we never see his home, do we? Or do we?
I don't think so.
Does he live in Hartford?
He has
maybe
to live in Stars Hollow.
I guess he would. Yeah.
He can't live in Hartford. That's a 30-minute drive.
Maybe he
every
lives
day
in his car and he's like secretly homeless.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That would actually make a lot of sense. Yeah. That's right. Why he's so grumpy.
This is the first time we've ever seen him without a suit on.
Oh. Yeah, with a leather jacket.
Yeah.
Oh,
leather jacket.
Don't get me started.
Oh, well, is this the fashion report?
I think so.
Okay.
No. All right, go ahead.
Fashion. So he's wearing that leather jacket. Luke is also wearing a leather jacket.
So is Lorelai.
I tell you what, I know, leather everywhere. Now dropped a drink.
This plays into my Mrs. Slutsky BDSM fantasy.
Yeah, kind of. Really, I know. And then Mrs. Slutsky's wearing a little leather herself. Luke's hair, I will say, in this episode, is probably the best it's ever looked. It's ever looked.
Yeah, it
right?
is.
Right?
Yeah. He also looks completely different at one point when he takes Lorelai in and he's not wearing like a plaid shirt or a baseball cap.
Yeah, he's like wearing like these harem pants. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
harem pants?
They're probably just sweatpants.
Oh, I thought you said hair and pants, and I was like, yeah, okay, he's wearing hair.
You know harem pants with the drop crotch?
Right, hammer time.
I mean, you know.
Stop, sure. Harem time.
Harem time.
That'd be amazing. Nicole's hair, I did not like. I don't like the swoop up on the sides. Like,
is it different than usual?
I don't know, but I'm just calling it out right now. I don't know.
If it's not different than usual, then I like it, because she looks like Gillian Anderson to me.
Well,
I believe it's Gillian.
No, it's not.
It's Gillian Anderson.
No.
Is it really?
It's
Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, it's Gillian Jacobs.
Yeah,
it's
you're
getting, Gillian Anderson.
It is Gillian Jacobs.
I thought it was Gillian Anderson and that she was named. No, she wasn't named after her, but okay.
Oh, that Gillian Jacobs was named after Gillian Anderson?
No, I didn't think that. That would
not
be
that
crazy.
Far apart,
that
they?
Would be insane if I thought that.
speaking of people, still look good.
You haven't mentioned my favorite fashion statement.
Which is what?
The Babette ate oatmeal shirt.
Babette ate oatmeal.
I'm buying
Kirk's
one.
Shirts.
Yeah, can we get those? Yeah. Someone's made them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a Cafe Press website for them, I believe. And someone, okay, well, this kind of gets into our Q&A. On Twitter.
Well, Twitter Q&A.
Wendy Miller on, I think this one's from Facebook. She says, what would your Kirk t-shirt say? So if you could get a Kirk t-shirt, some sort of thing from your life, a current event, so current to the day.
The inn is on fire.
The inn is on fire.
Oh, to me.
To you. Caitlin Carnes. Okay, so Caitlin Carnes asked a similar question. She said, what would Kirk put on a shirt for a day in the life of Kevin and Demi? And then someone replied, at Flagophile, replied, Kevin cried.
Yep. I would, absolutely. Oh, you know what? I'm going to make a Kevin cried shirt for the live show. There it is.
But you spoiled that. Now you can't do it.
Now you, well.
Yeah, okay, I won't do it.
I heard that. I heard your eye closing.
Demi winked into the mic, which is something I've never seen.
You can hear the little glitter of it.
Okay. Do it again.
don't Robert Durst me.
Your eyes are so dry.
Did it off the nookie, man. Yeah, I guess mine would say Kevin Cry. Or mine would say Demi. What do you do?
Demi hasn't seen it.
Demi vined.
Okay. Mine would say Demi hasn't seen it because I don't watch things.
Demi hasn't seen it. Demi hasn't seen a musical.
Mm-hmm.
Demi hasn't seen it would be good. Kevin cried would be good.
Oh, wait, you know what? Mine would say, finally we saw Good Will Hunting.
I do wish we had a scene. I don't know. I keep imagining scenes that we don't see because of my fanfic mind.
Yeah, it's true. Of
Babette eating the oatmeal.
Mm-hmm. On a cot.
What about it made, like, it must have been really something.
I'm not going to eat the oatmeal, Maury.
Maury, cinnamon.
All right, I'll eat the oatmeal. I'm getting more cinnamon on it in honor of our fallen cat. It wasn't that bad. You said it was going to be bad. It wasn't that bad. You got to give it a little something.
People are going to think that she's actually here. People are going to think that Sally Struthers is, like, in the room.
You know what's weird is like in the in a couple of episodes ago when she sings the national anthem, her voice sounds totally normal.
Yeah,
it's not like
Well, her voice isn't. I mean, yeah.
Well, I didn't know if she actually sounded like "Hey, sugar," or if in real life she's just like "Hello, I'm Sally Struthers."
You know? Do you think she listens to this podcast? Because I want to say something, but I don't want to say it if she listens to the podcast.
We'll specifically reach out to her and be like, "Don't listen." She doesn't listen.
She doesn't. Yeah. Okay, so I watched an interview she did with a local TV interview where she's doing dinner theater like in the middle of nowhere, a production of 9 to 5 the musical at like a dinner theater. It was the darkest thing I've ever seen in the interview. It was so bleak.
I know.
Just like how the mighty have fallen. Like, I know, like, you know, it wasn't even dinner theater like in a real city, you know, and everyone is going to get mad at me who lives in like not a real city, but your cities aren't real. And I... It's dinner theater, and it's 9 to 5, and it's like a family-friendly one, so they edit it to make it like even more wholesome.
A family-friendly 9 to 5?
Well, so this theater, like, I looked at the website because I was like, I went in deep. Yeah, I don't know. It was really, it was like dinner theater, and it was 9 to 5, which is like a bad musical, and it was like edited for kids, and it's like $40 gets you like fried chicken and like, you know, soda. I don't know. I can't explain how dark it was. You just have to like go to the website.
Is it on YouTube?
The interview? Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know what, like, also, like, local TV morning shows are just, like, also, like, really bleak to me.
They are. There's some, it's a weird energy on any morning local TV
the
show.
The whole thing just, like, it just depressed the hell out of me. Like, I don't know. I'm still recovering. And so, I don't know. That was a total tangent, but I just hope that she's happy.
The only bright spot of local morning TV shows is when, like, they get a celebrity on there once in a while. Like, I think there's a bunch of videos of Hannibal going on a bunch of
local. Oh, Hannibal's so
good on... And he's always just, like, not caring that they've clearly gone to, like, the lengths to get him there, and he's just having fun with it. It's great.
And then they have fun, too.
Yeah.
I'm working on a version of that musical, actually, where it's all Nazis.
9 to 5.
I don't even have to say anything.
Demi's so mad.
I just imagine me like signing a check. Just like, there it is.
Because you're also like putting money into that production.
Yeah.
Was it Allison Janney in the original Broadway cast of that show?
She was. I don't know if it was it on Broadway or was it?
It was on something.
I know it started out here. Anyway, yes, Allison Janney was definitely in it.
Okay. Speaking to wordplay, Will Tapley says, does anyone in the Poe Society even like Poe? Or are they all a load of posers?
Oh my God.
That was good.
Yeah. Good job, Will.
They're faux posers.
I feel like, you know what? I don't feel like that was a real question. I think he just wanted to impress everyone.
I think he did. Oh, I forgot to mention this at the top. This episode is written by Daniel Palladino and directed by Chris Long.
Boy Chris Long?
Oh yeah, CL all the way, man. Yeah, this is definitely a Daniel episode, though, right? Feels like it. Feels right. Oh, other fashion things before we close it out. I feel like Lindsay's jacket, Dean's new girlfriend, looks like the way she's wearing it, she looks like Margot Tenenbaum.
The hair helps with that, too.
Right.
And the stink face.
And the stink, yeah.
And the wooden
the stink
finger.
Face she gives Rory is exceptional.
Mm-hmm. And then I like how Lane's pajamas, she looks like a Puritan wife.
Very on brand.
Does.
Right?
Paris's pajamas have these tiny little stars on them that I thought were cute.
You just love everything.
Of course I do. Paris has one scene in this episode, and she is the outstand.
Last time I was here, I say Paris was my favorite character?
I think so, yeah.
I think I said that.
Do you retract it?
No, I'm standing by it, like, extra hard.
Same.
I just feel like she was even, like, at that point in the series, I think Demi might have been confused by my, like, love for her, because she wasn't as... Or were you always...
This was early season 2.
I don't know how I felt about Paris at the time.
I just feel like she gets better and better.
But right now, I'm firmly in the camp of her being my favorite character.
She's absolutely the best character. Yeah.
Can you imagine if we had a podcast episode like a Gilmore Gab where it's like Liza Weil and Kelly Bishop?
It would just be us being like, do you like movies and
Has Liza
stuff?
Has Liza done the show yet?
No.
You can get Liza.
Yet.
I hope so. Yeah, she follows us.
I'm talking
Twitter.
About Minnelli, so.
Right.
Yeah, so are we.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Start spreading the news.
I'm on Gilmore, guys.
I'm going to be a part of it.
She was so fun in Arrested Development. She was sincerely
great.
Funny. Anyway, I think that's it for the fashion report, right? Unless you got something else.
Lorelai's got this high neck turtleneck that she's wearing at the beginning of the episode, mm-hmm. and the neck is like, it feels really big, and I don't know why. It's not. It's like,
it was
not.
Like a, it was like chicken, like.
Yes, it was. It was like, what is that called? Not a blubber.
Danny Blubber?
Yeah, Danny Blubber.
What are you talking about? Like
on a rooster, the little goblet.
Oh, the waddle? Is that what it's called? No,
maybe.
The
we all grew up on farms.
Well, Texas is all just one giant farm.
Texas
so.
Is a farm.
The coxcomb is the top of the rooster's head.
Oh, the
it's
little
not that kind of show, Lewis.
All right.
Literally all of my fashion notes aside from the turtleneck are different things about people's pajamas.
Yeah.
Lorelai's black and pink guitar shirt mm-hmm. that she wears is yeah. so tacky and...
But it plays into like how fucking... Ooh, I said the F word. Is that...
You yeah, can. Go for it.
All right, okay. I feel I just suddenly like...
Fuck it.
Seized by panic. That was crazy. I haven't felt that way since like grade school.
What a thrill.
I used to say it a lot in third grade. But I think it plays into how cute this episode is like, and how cute the town is like after dark.
Yeah.
Like, it's so wholesome. They all have like pajamas they wear and like... It's a big slumber party with the entire town, and all I want to do is like go to Stars Hollow and like bedroom hop in not a sexual way, in like a I want to see your pajamas way.
Yeah,
it got weird.
Although, I want to see your pajamas, the Lewis Weitzman. I want to see your pajamas tour.
I imagine you knocking on the doors and you'd be like, "Just here to see your pajamas, nice," and then leaving.
And there is a weird sexual undertone though, because they keep talking about how they're worried that the couples are going to be doing it on their beds.
Yeah, that was one.
Which also, like,
joke that
do you
Lorelai...
see how small Rory's bed is? Like, what they can't all... they can't not do it. They're going to be like on top of each other the entire
you can't
time.
Not do it.
Every child in the series is the tiniest bed. That's one thing I noticed, because Paris's bed is like big enough for Paris and maybe a book.
Yeah,
it's so small.
We know what she spoons at night.
Yeah.
Aww.
Proust.
Oh, Nicholas Nickleby.
Did you like that really precocious kid that was staying at Lorelai's house? That's like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I hate all precocious children. But
I was about to say, I hate.
I like
kids.
My kids dumb.
Yeah, kids are dumb.
Kids
and
should
sticky.
Be running in the trees.
Would you ever have children?
Okay, that's not this kind of... I don't need to, like...
La, 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 la,
la, la, la.
Personal.
I would. I'll make a stand.
If I got knocked up around now, I'd keep it, because I feel like I'm the right age.
Well, everyone already knows my birth plan, so I'm waiting for Clooney to swoop me up.
Yeah, we got a lot of angry emails about my birth plan.
What was your birth
not
plan?
Not actually... No, that I would like do a home delivery in the bathtub drain it for like the child's life.
I'll give you an angry email right now. That's gross.
We didn't actually get it. I mean, we got some perturbed.
This is
tweets.
The spare bathroom we can't go in because it's full of home birth water.
What is the purpose of keeping it?
Just sentimental value. Just like, you know, people
it's like
hoard
bronzing
different
baby
stuff.
Boots.
Oh, or you could get it like frozen.
And, no.
Oh, there's like, or you could like make a milkshake.
I just imagine know. Like as you die, you lay down in it and be frozen. You're just like, I love you. I know.
You know how before you throw up, your mouth like fills with saliva. That's like what's happening to me right now. I'm getting so.
All right, let's change
moist.
Topics.
Well, speaking of moist, let's talk about Jess. I don't know, because girls. Never mind.
No, say it.
I don't know. So Jess is the employee of the month at Walmart.
Why do they have a ceremony for him?
The ceremony was the fact that it happened was crazy. Lizzie Palmer from Facebook says, "How terrible must all the other Walmart workers
that's
be
what I was thinking.
For Jess to win Employee of the Month?"
There's no way he's very good. It's that they're all just like, "I'm on my break."
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Everyone
you said that.
Just,
you said that F word.
Yeah.
It's allowed.
Okay. we're gonna edit it out though. Yeah. I don't know. Well, isn't it like that he's I think the point is that he's putting a lot more effort into
work
than school certainly. But also, maybe they're just trying to keep him around. It's a courtesy Employee of the Month ceremony.
He was just out.
They don't even have it. They don't even have a ceremony for anyone else. They were just like, we just want, you know, we want Jess to feel good. The show goes above and beyond to treat Jess well, even though he's a nightmare. So
okay, so you concur that he is a nightmare person.
Yeah, he's horrible. So yeah. I feel like it's like all part of that. Like we gotta like coddle him.
Yeah, I just don't Yeah. Even like accepting the award, he couldn't have been a bigger jerk.
What if he smiled?
Nope.
What about that, Jess?
My money.
What if he smiled?
I wonder if he would have smiled if Luke wasn't there.
Stupid. No, because he didn't see Luke until at the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he would have been like, yeah, and given like thumbs up and high five.
Right. You guys are my best friends.
Walmart. Walmart.
Like he rips open his shirt and underneath is another shirt with the smiley face.
Yeah, and a smiley.
Where is the Walmart? Is it like outside of Stars Hollow?
It has to be. It can't be.
They can't have, can have a chain in Stars Hollow.
Yeah.
Imagine Walmart being like, look, we got to open up some new stores. We got to hit Stars Hollow.
The centerpiece of, or the one of the hot spots for international business and travel, as we've seen from all the Independence Inn residents, all the employees there. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
I did like that. Just switching gears a little bit, I did like that Michelle had a sincere moment once the inn caught on fire.
Yeah, when he was trying to help.
Yeah, and it lasted 45 seconds, but right. it did last where he's like, okay, I'll do this, blah, blah, blah. And then he's on the phone with which inn? The Cheshire Cat. You remember that?
I do.
From episode 204, Road Trip to Harvard, which...
So that means there are two inns in Stars Hollow.
Right, well...
Or it's a little... Maybe it's another like small town, right? Is it in Stars Hollow?
Well, here's what's confusing about it, is because that inn that they went to, the Cheshire Cat, with the weird wallpaper and the people singing Cher, that was in New Hampshire.
Oh.
And this is like within driving distance. So I don't know if it's a thing where like they forgot where it was.
And there are multiple Cheshire Cats.
Or there's that it's is a chain.
It's a chain.
Yeah.
So many chains in this damn town all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. It's Walmart. Like an Aretha Franklin song. Chain, chain, chain. What'd you think? I was going to sing Respect.
Yeah, I was like, how? How do you fit this in? I was literally just like, I'm going to be so impressed if you figure it out. W-A-L-M-R-T. No. That's wow, not... that's not how you spell Walmart, is it?
We underpay our employees. Minimum, minimum, minimum.
Don't respect them, don't respect them, don't respect
them. You're going to get so many angry letters from Walmart.
Monia, Monia Hanafia. Ask, whose house would you choose to stay in if you had a choice? If you're in the situation, Stars Hollow, you're outside.
Dean.
Dean, why?
I just want to be a fly on the wall at a night at Dean's house. Mom, what's for dinner? Pot roast. Pot roast!
Why?
Why?
My favorite show is on. Min, 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 min,
min. That's such a hard question. Like I said, I want to go to all of them. Mm-hmm. I want a bedtime tour, Stars Hollow.
So you would go to one person and then start a fire and be like, oh, no, I got to go. This happened again.
And just keep I don't think I would be an arsonist, if that's what you're asking. Like, I don't think I would destroy the town.
Oh,
no, I'd definitely, if I had to choose, I'd say Babette's.
Babette's?
Best stories, best cots.
Because she's got color.
They got
she's
cots. Got cots.
If I wanted stories, I'd go Miss Patty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Ugh. Conflicted.
Because Miss Patty's, there might be weird stuff.
Yeah.
No, wait, final answer.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to Slutsky's.
Slutsky's. Okay.
She's not accepting visitors right now, but I am showing up.
Weekend at Slutsky's.
Her desires are unconventional.
It feels a little bit like below the show, by the way, to name a character Slutsky.
I can't believe no one in the writer's room was like, well, change it.
That's a real name. I know people named Slutsky. It is a real name.
But it just sounds so derogatory when Lorelai's like, sorry, Mrs. Slutsky.
She's like, shut the window, Slutsky. No, but...
My name is Candace. They just made up a nickname for her.
Close up. I have a name, you know.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm going home and I'm going to write this. 50 Shades of Slutsky.
Weekends at Slutsky's. Well, there's already 50 Shades of DeGrey with Tristan.
Oh.
DeGrey. So that's true. That does exist. That's not me.
If you write it, we should host a live read of it.
A live. Oh, that'll be our live shows after we're done with this show. Is we'll just do live reads of fan fiction.
Oh, my God.
Incredible. They're alive, damn it.
Did we ever get closure as to whether or not Jess was actually going to school?
No, not in this episode.
That was really unclear.
Yeah.
No, I feel like they're setting up things in this episode. Like this, from this episode on, there's not really filler stuff going up into the finale. Like this is all leading to very specific points that we'll get to, especially the penultimate and the ultimate episode of the show.
Although he's clearly not going to school.
Yeah. And Luke is dumb.
I just like to believe that he's got, like, the watch from Clockstoppers, and he can just go everywhere real quick.
I was going to say the Time Turner from Harry Potter.
That's probably a more current reference than a 2002 movie.
We don't talk about Clockstoppers enough.
I have talked about Clockstoppers 3 times this week.
Clockstoppers, I watched part of that movie in French for no reason with my friends on New Year's Eve. I just wanted to be included. Hey guys,
were you in France?
No, I was in Austin.
You were just like, turn off these subtitles. It's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
Stoppers du clock.
Stoppers du clock.
I just remember the scene where he's riding the bike and then he moonwalks, and I was like, yeah, this is the movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
Why are we talking about clock stoppers?
I don't know, but I do love, going back to Walmart, ping ponging all over the place.
I'm always going back to Walmart.
How much shit Luke gives Jess constantly is just so fun.
It's so fun
and so funny because it's the only time you see like Luke be 100% joyful about anything other than when he tried to hug Rory at the beginning of the
I love that.
That was really cute,
sweet, but he's just like, did I do it right?
Yeah, he was like an alien learning.
When did you first start watching Gilmore Girls? Like, were you were not in high school, right? You were older.
I was like middle school, high school. I think I started watching it when I was like 14, 15.
Did you ever have a different impression of Jess? Because I feel when I watched it, like, high school-y times, like, I wasn't really watching it in earnest then, but I have this idea that Jess is, like, really cool and, like, the ideal And I feel like that has changed so much for me as I've gotten older and more mature.
Okay, so when you first watched it, you were like, this guy's badass.
Yeah, even in college, I was like, yeah, like he knows the score. He's unpleasant.
No, he always annoyed me, kind of. I think my opinions have shifted a little bit as to why he annoys me, but I felt like an instinctual annoyance when
Well, now I'm just like, why don't you stop being so difficult? Like, why don't you stop being so mean?
It seems easy.
Why don't you show some affection?
Does your mom care while I'm going to school? Or not, you know,
because
you're dating her daughter, idiot.
Right.
Everything.
He just could make his life a lot easier if he would cheer up a little bit.
It would make his life a lot. It would make everyone's life a lot easier. Stop doing pranks. Go to school. Be it like the Jess we saw a couple episodes ago when he's like, go read a book, Kirk. And he's like kind of annoyed, but he's just kind of like Luke.
Yeah, he sort of settled into it.
Someone put out an article. Was it Bustle or one of those websites? One of those dumb like BuzzFeed-esque websites. They put out an article. Just kidding. They put out an article why Luke and Jess are the same person, and it does not hold up at all. Like, the reasons for
it. Is it like they are related?
Yeah, pretty much. So, like, they do grand romantic gestures, and it's like,
well, no, I mean,
nope.
I think that they intentionally just, like, mirrors Luke in some ways.
In some ways, but they're so minor, and all the points in this article were like, they're the same.
But no, but there's a gruffness that, like...
The gruffness, yeah. I saw it most clearly in the Bracebridge dinner when they were, like, you know, making fun of everyone
right.
around them.
Right, but the thing about Luke is that, like, he's clearly, like, a good person
mm-hmm.
underneath that. He does, like, good things for the benefit of others. He's selfless.
Right.
He's just... it's almost like people aren't good enough for him. Everyone, he's so good.
Interesting.
Innately.
Yeah.
That, like... Society's evils are making him gruff, whereas Jess is a societal evil. Do you see what I'm saying?
Making Luke
this?
Gruff. Yes.
Oh.
They're like the Joker and Batman. They need each other.
Yes.
Yes, Jess is like the Joker.
What is that? Is that comparison not a point?
No, it's
why
flawless.
So serious?
I think he's the most serious, though. So
yeah.
Maybe he's...
So, oh.
Damn it, Joker.
Maybe he's Batman.
Oh, that's true.
That's also true.
He did also lose his parents.
Yeah.
Oh, too soon.
No, they're alive.
Well, he lost them.
Right.
He doesn't know where they are.
But
is that his fault? Like, he just, where'd like, misplaced
go?
Them?
Yeah.
One line I wanted to play when Luke was giving Jess shit at the Walmart ceremony.
Yeah, the forklift's going, where's the extension of me?
I thought that was such a strange, funny line. Like, he doesn't, because Luke doesn't do lines like that.
Yeah, it's very out of character.
Yeah, the forklift's going, where's the extension of me?
It's very theatrical.
Yeah.
Right?
It's very Lorelai.
Yeah, speaking of Lorelai lines, she had some sick burns in this episode on entire
and
formats. Do you know what I'm about to
say? And
play?
Entire buildings.
Entire, ooh, that's also true. This is her her sick improv takedown.
Okay, name an occupation. Plumber. Name a farm tool now. Tractor. Hey, I'm a tractor doing plumbing.
That's what they do at the Yale Drama School? So I've heard.
Man, she's clearly never been an ass cat or something.
I don't know. It's like, it's funny because like, it's sort of a reach. Like, she's like clearly just like trying to come up with like bad improv ideas, but also like I can see it happening somewhere.
Totally.
Like, Stars Hollow improv is probably that bad.
Yeah, Kirk's got a team.
Oh my god, what I would give to see Kirk
do improv.
With Miss Patty and Babette.
Do you think there's an improv team? Babette ate oatmeal.
If not, we're gonna start.
Yeah, if not, this is the inaugural.
Well, Keiko Ogina actually for real does improv.
And commercials,
Verizon. And then also there was Lorelai's sick takedown of sitcoms.
And throw us into a universe where everything is the exact opposite of what it is here?
Cool, there'll be funny sitcoms there.
Kind of throwing rocks in glass houses, if you ask me.
There's a lot of...
Wait. Gilmore Girls isn't a sitcom.
It has so much DNA of a sitcom, though.
It does.
Yeah, but it's an hour-long dramedy.
Right, but that only technically... Like, so many of the story beats are sitcom.
Yeah, but I feel like what she's criticizing is the laugh track.
Like, three
like
camera.
The easy joke, you know.
But even then, in 2003, I'd say there was still a good handful of solid sitcoms.
What was on there? Can we...
2003, Friends was still on.
Barely.
Yeah, it was
on life
the
support.
Out.
That was like season 9 Friends, yeah.
Yeah.
They were like getting like $1 million an episode, mm-hmm. Friends, yeah.
What else was even on?
Everyone Loves Raymond was on.
Oh. Everybody Loves Raymond.
Not a fan?
No, I love Raymond.
Yeah, it's really good.
Everybody does.
To me, that's like the last Norman Lear as sitcom where it's like a play.
I also love Ray Romano in an unhealthy way.
So were you
Deborah?
Deborah? Were you excited to see them get together on Parenthood then?
No, I hated that.
Oh, okay.
She chose the wrong guy.
Uh-oh.
She chose the wrong guy.
Who's the right guy?
The wrong
Jason
kid,
Ritter.
Though.
Yeah. I might agree
That'd
with that.
That'd be dumb.
I won't. And then...
way above your intelligence.
King of Queens was on at this time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Another
the
classic.
Big three.
Friends.
King of Queens has its moments.
Well, Scrubs was on.
Have we talked about not knowing what this, the theme song to King of Queens was, or is that someone else?
We have not. Okay. We have not talked about it.
I don't know what
it's,
it is.
I'm a king of Queens. Someone suggested him and Rowan Atkinson do a buddy cop comedy called King of Beans.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be good?
Beans and Blart.
That's my friend Nathan who suggested that. Beans and Blart.
Shout out to Nathan.
Yeah. Shout out Nathan Ely. Yeah. Oh, and then there's the part where Alexis Bledel described her acting style.
I put no energy into this.
Oh,
come on.
Well, there goes one cast member that will never come on this show.
Wait. It's funny because it's true. Though.
It is very true. Good, though.
I might cut that out.
No, don't
no,
cut it
don't.
Out.
No, don't. It's great.
Own
what
it.
If,
it's great.
What if she listens?
Well, then I will go ahead and say that I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I don't think it's true either. I think she is great in the role. I think
it was
she's
a very,
very funny
joke of you to play.
I'm a guest, so I can say that I think it's very true.
Lewis, how dare you?
What? All right. I just wanted to take the fall.
Thank you.
Thank you for
I made him play that
sword.
Clip.
There's a part we edited out where he's like, play the clip, play the clip.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, that's a different thing.
I wish we saw Jackson in this episode. We do get a little Suki.
Yeah, finally.
And we get...
of her trying to feed a cat.
By the way, cat in the kitchen.
Health code.
Huge.
Health code.
I have no problem with that.
Really?
Yeah. I also was so charmed by her and Luke working together that I was like...
I loved that.
Cats yeah, everywhere. Finally,
it was a stray cat that she just called Papaya for some reason.
Because it's cute.
Yeah, someone asked on Twitter if I cried when Papaya came back. And the answer is no.
Did you cry when they saw the inside of the inn and it was all burned?
No, I
nope.
didn't.
I didn't cry either, but I felt like sad.
I was very sad.
Because it reminded me of Facts of Life.
Oh.
Remember the fire?
Yes.
Late Facts of Life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Clooney Facts of Life?
Yeah.
Well, that was when I stopped watching.
All right.
To me, Facts of Life is really only seasons 1 through 6.
Fires are sad.
Yeah. They are. I think this episode handled it really well because we don't know how bad it is until we get in there. Although it really just looks like a group came in and knocked stuff over.
Yeah, and then
a
poured.
Group called Fire. I mean, like that's what Fire does. It's like when a frat stays at your hotel.
It's
you know?
The same, yeah.
And they just like poop everywhere and destroy things
and slightly make one painting off center.
Reminds me of that Alicia Keys song.
Anyway. This poop is on fire.
Isn't it weird they had a Billy Joel reference in this, but it wasn't until We Didn't Start the Fire?
What was it, Piano Man?
No, it was
he's going to be on Charlie Rose.
Charlie Rose.
Yeah.
Oh,
he might cry.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. Did he? He's kind of a mess now, right?
Billy Joel?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Didn't he drive into a house, a building?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I heard that story, it almost gave me a heart attack. Anyway. Sorry.
You're just throwing up. You're putting up threes.
Some nights
you're nailing it.
What else do we need to talk about? Oh, Chief Baker. We meet Chief Baker finally. That becomes a very important character in the show.
The fire chief?
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
He doesn't.
An African American? No, he doesn't.
One of the few people of color in Stars Hollow.
Yeah, that's why I wanted.
He's
to
the
point
only
him
one.
Out.
There's no other one.
Michelle is something.
Nope. No, I'm
Michelle's
kidding,
not black. No,
we talked a lot about race in the first season, and people like kept going, Michelle's black, Michelle's black, Michelle's black,
and people are catching up now and still tweeting.
Is Michelle black?
No,
he is.
What is his ethnic origin?
Black.
He's a Canadian African or African Canadian. I think I want to say. Yeah.
Okay,
we'll have him on and ask.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yannick
Truesdale. He'll be at Austin. He'll be at the ATX thing.
Will he?
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's just as grumpy then.
Yeah.
He's just like, I don't want to be.
And this just in, Milo said he wants in for the ATX thing too.
Well, he said he wants in.
We all want things, Milo.
Right. He wants in or...
is him saying he wants in, like, hey, I didn't get an invite, and them going, oh, whoops.
I don't know.
If only there was space.
We'll keep you. I mean, if they're inviting as many people as there are, surely there's space.
There's not a space.
Oh, we ran out.
We gave your seat to Jared.
Sorry.
At the last minute, Jackson wanted to come.
I'd rather see Jackson than Milo.
I too.
You would?
Of course.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, no offense to Milo. I just feel like...
just want to throw a tomato.
He's done a lot of terrible things.
Sure.
Like Heroes.
Oh, Heroes I never watched, so I'm not sure. And I haven't watched Gotham. I don't... Is he not on it yet?
He's not on it yet. And I do watch Gotham.
Okay.
I have no frame of reference for Milo Ventimiglia outside of this show and Heroes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know about him as a person.
Yeah, but Heroes is a terrible show.
No, it's not good. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I'm here's one of those shows that I'm like angry at that I watched it.
That's like me in Lost. But I watched Lost. Every single episode.
I'm wearing a Dharma Initiative shirt.
I know.
You are. I didn't even notice.
So I said it on purpose.
Let's talk about Paris.
Ooh, we got cots.
Used to keep us on track.
Let's talk about Paris. And her one scene.
And her Howard Hughes-ing it up.
Yeah.
Bummer.
It's such a bummer because it reminds me of the Da Vinci Code with the character who's just like whipping himself. She's just punishing herself.
Yeah. I wish they could have committed to the Howard Hughes-ing though and she had like jars of urine.
Yeah.
Like really go for it.
Yeah. If you're going to say it, do it.
And like blueprint to her plane.
Yeah. But yeah, she's beating herself up. She's watching General Hospital. She's become like a vegetable.
No, she's not watching General Hospital.
She doesn't deserve General Hospital.
That's right. Oh man!
It's the last thing anyone's ever said on a show.
Yeah,
but it is interesting. Well, the choice to make it that what undoes her is not, because I feel like you see a lot on TV, like what undoes her is not a boy or something, or like, oh, Jamie broke up with me. What? You know, it's like an ambition.
Right.
It's the school. So I think that's a good choice, just in that it's like an ambition thing rather than like being predicated on a guy liking her or not liking her, you know?
Yeah,
it's feminist.
It's kind of feminist.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll say it.
You should be the one to say it.
Yeah, I think I'm very entitled to judge what's feminist and what's not.
The entire episode, up until that point, I was just kind of wanting to see what Paris's like reaction to this was, so I'm glad that we got even that one scene. And it's very heartbreaking for her to not even think about going to any of the school and just being like, I'm just going to rent an apartment near Harvard and pretend I go there.
Mm-hmm. That was a bummer.
It was also a bummer her going like, yeah, I told my mom I had sex, and she was just talking about how my dad doesn't please her anymore.
Ooh, that was dark.
Oh, boy.
But you know what I liked is that when we heard that clip of her interview, I was like, why didn't she get in? And then you hear that, you're like, oh,
yeah,
she was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like, I don't know, I like that, because otherwise I don't really buy it.
Yeah, exactly. We were talking about how she should have gotten in, but that interview...
But that she blew the interview, that's a good justification for why she plays a little bit of it, and it's great.
I haven't heard an interview that blown since, I'm not going in a bad... your eyes are widening.
Frost Nixon?
No, I was gonna do a legitimate reference to Degrassi when Paige was stoned at her interview.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
And she's like, I'm so high right now.
Well, I haven't seen an interview that bad since Seth Rogen and James Franco. High fives all around, boys.
Yeah.
Okay, reach across the table. Thank you.
We blew the interview. Oh, no.
Let's smoke some weed.
No, good movie. Good movie, though.
Mrs. Kim has a cricket bat. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. I want to see Mrs. Kim play cricket, too.
I want to see her beat the... beat Jess. I want her to beat Jess.
Yeah, which when she came in, he was in the room.
And he's like,
she should have literally beat him.
Yeah. I wish Rory, like, seconds before she entered the room, had gone to the bathroom and Jess was there. And she would think, oh, this isn't Rory. This is my daughter. I'm going to kill you. So she just goes for it.
That'd be a cool way to wrap up Jess's story.
Murder.
it'd be unexpected.
Mrs. Kim in jail would be a bummer.
Kim in jail would be badass.
Do they have a jail in Stars Hollow?
No.
No.
They got a single prison cell.
They barely have cops in Stars Hollow.
It's really held together.
They use Miss Patty's dungeon as a jail.
I imagine.
My desires are unconventional.
You know, Ricardo Montalban was spending the night in here.
How much did you love her answering the phones and like.
So much.
Hello, this is the Independence Inn Emergency Headquarters. I'm Miss Patty. I'll be assisting you today. How may I help you?
I just loved it was either like, welcome to the Independence Inn Emergency Hotline, or. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, make up your mind. No. Miss Pats. She'll be at ATX.
Everyone's going to be there, man.
I know,
is Slutsky coming?
Yeah, Slutsky's
Slutsky's moderating.
Slutsky's moderating.
Slutsky's long dead, right?
No.
Slutsky will
that.
Live on forever in the hearts of and minds of men.
And not women, though. Okay. At Kindred Like Me, do you think Luke and Lorelai's conversation helped justify the dream sequence?
Yes, actually. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that. Like, I hated it before because it felt like it didn't matter. But then bringing it back, I thought, oh, okay. Now it feels necessary and not just like a tease.
It's not
that
just
doesn't
like a
really justify
thing.
It, though. It's not, I mean, it was still like such a cheat.
It was.
It's such a cheap thing to do when like, I don't know. Like, I feel like they kind of, it was also an afterthought. They waited 17 episodes.
That's
bring it back with like one reference that actually doesn't really do anything except make a little like awkward banter.
Yeah, I like how Luke giggles like a schoolgirl when Nicole calls him. Nicole, what's your thoughts on Nicole?
I wish she didn't hate Lorelai.
I'll need that pin back. She says at one point,
which I thought like in my head that was normal. Like she was just like I don't like losing pens.
It's not what she said. It's how she said it.
Okay. But I wish she didn't hate Lorelai because I like Nicole otherwise. Mm-hmm. But obviously because she hates Lorelai, she's the evil one now.
Well,
yeah, but like she has every reason to hate Lorelai.
Yeah.
Lorelai showed up at her boyfriend's house in the middle of the night and was like, let me sleep here. P.S. I had a dream we had a family.
That is very strong. Yeah.
Click.
There's something sweet about Luke believing the best of Jess when he figures out that he did 40 hours a month. Like, I don't know why. Like, also, they don't even consider the fact that he might have fudged his time cards.
Well, as we all know, Walmart keeps a tight ship as far as time cards go. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that sweet of Luke so much. I'm with the cynical one today, but I feel like it's dumb. You said Luke's just dumb.
I'd say it's
about
kind
Jess,
of
like
ignorant.
he's a little dumb.
Yeah,
like, oh, it's crazy that he manages to go
dumb
to
in a cute
that,
way. I think
all that school,
yeah.
And works. He works 107 hours a week. He goes to school for 55 hours a week. I don't know how many hours in a week, but it adds up to me. Like, you know, he kind of just goes with it.
Sounds right.
I it could be dumbness.
No, I mean it's definitely like he's looking for the best in him. Sure. But it like it comes at the price of him like not thinking very hard about the situation.
Yeah, poor Luke. He won't be made a fool of for very much longer.
He won't be fooled again.
Won't get fooled again.
We won't get fooled. I just want to sing more.
Yeah, well, we'll sing at the show. Otherwise, anything else we need to cover? Stray notes, observations.
Stray cats.
The Post Society. We covered.
Oh, I wrote down a note. Hold on, I got it. Most of my notes were about Slutsky and the Cots line, but I also had the story of Jackson making a paperclip leg for the spider was so harrowing.
It was upsetting.
It was really upsetting. Like, the spider lost a leg. Like, I was like, this is a kind of like a dark, like Lynchian moment, imagining the spider. And then he puts a paperclip. Like, that's body horror, like weirdness. And the spider died. And the whole thing I found to be very disturbing.
In my head, I don't care about a spider very much, but then they're like, as soon as they make it this thing that they have to nurture for, they're like, yeah, the spider was hurt. So I just think the spider is like wanting to die. And then they're like, we tried to help it and we killed it.
And we tortured it to death.
Like, oh my God.
That should be a film by Kirk.
I mean, there's something just like so dark about like making a leg for a spider and then impaling it on the leg. It's dramatic irony.
There's something awful about that. It's like when it's their version of petting the mice too hard in Of Mice and Men.
Oh.
Wasn't that a person?
Yeah, Lenny did that.
But also he kills a mouse.
Doesn't he kill a mouse and a person?
Yeah.
Okay.
He kills both.
You pet people too
Mickey
hard.
Mickey Mouse. He kills Mickey Mouse. Who's a mouse and a person?
Oh, you're petting me too hard.
Oh,
please stop.
I'm dying.
Oh, that made me sad. Oh,
made
just
me
imagine.
Sad. Maybe said that's not real. I would love to see that mashup.
A Disney reboot of Mice and Men, but oh. It's Mickey Mouse.
No, I'm just like, it made me really upset to think of someone in a Mickey Mouse costume playing up the Mickey Mouse thing, but also dying. Ugh. Oh, now I'm so bummed out.
That made me the opposite of upset for whatever reason.
Oh, no, I'm like a wreck right now.
I'm not a Disneyland fan, though, in general.
I'm not, but I'm just imagining someone dying while in a Mickey Mouse. Okay, let's stop that.
Surely it's happened. Think about that.
So if I understand correctly, you're requesting fan art.
No, please.
Fan art of, fan art of Jackson, petting Mickey Mouse until he dies. Is that what's happening?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I look hot.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Lorelai talks so much during people's speeches. Like the Poe thing.
Was crazy.
It makes me, it just frustrates me to see them talking while something else is going on. That I'm like, just watch that or just wait until you leave.
That's one of my least favorite like TV things. Is like
conventions.
People, yeah, is that people can like talk at normal volume. And like, it's implied that like no one except the people right around them can hear them. Or no one can hear them at all, and it's like so distracting. They're talking at full volume, and it's, you know.
I always just think about how loud they're talking.
And it's a small room.
It is.
It's not like a theater
and
you're in the
like,
back row.
Like, walk outside if you want to talk. Jeez. Yeah.
Do we sound like old men right now?
No, it's rude. It's super rude.
And another thing, I'm sick of the minorities.
Demi said that. Lewis and I didn't say that.
Okay. Yeah, I did say that. That's a very good note.
Are you talking about the minorities in Stars Hollow?
Yeah.
It's getting a little too ethnic, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Mm. Between Michelle and the police chief, I think they need to calm down with all the...
Fire chief.
Whatever.
That guy was kind of badass. I loved his voice, and he reminded me of Danny Glover. Yeah, he was a very calming presence.
Yeah.
Too bad like, we'll never see him again.
Herbert in Parks and Rec, the guy who is like, there's no time, he can fly.
Oh, sure.
The scene of them bursting into the diner to set up, like...
Yeah, again, Lorelai could have called, and she did not.
She just doesn't know Luke's number, I imagine. No. She just doesn't write it down or figure it out or anything. It's not important to her.
Lorelai is inconsiderate.
She's super inconsiderate, especially with regards to Luke.
Mm-hmm. She takes him for granted.
The scene... not okay. I love the scene where she is just like, go into the diner and talk to the man with the plaid, and if he tells you to stop, it's part of the game. I was like, oh, yeah, poor Luke.
That's a terrible like way of explaining consent.
Oh. Yeah, it really is.
No. Well, kids gotta learn sometime.
No. Oh, no means man. No.
Yeah, that puppet show I was riveted by, though.
Oh, I loved the puppet show.
Are they taking out the garbage? Are they not?
It's a terrible puppet show, but what a joy those kids seem to be having.
Oh, man. Well, oh, and I did love the ending, the intercutting of, which is something they do not do almost ever on this show, where they cut between two scenes simultaneously.
The happiness of going to Yale and the sadness of losing the inn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Was it the happiness of going to Yale, though? Because like her face was like, yeah, you know. It was kinda
almost a recognition that, yeah, she's going to Yale.
Yeah, it was like a heavy moment.
Yeah.
And
it's like as if her dreams of Harvard burned.
Mm, too true.
And the Yale dreams rise through the ashes like
the actions like a phonics.
The phonics. Hooked on phonics.
Rise from the actions like a phonics.
I can't believe Luke didn't know Suki was pregnant.
He's stupid.
And I love that Lorelai responds with, could you be any further behind? Could I be any further behind?
My sandwich!
But definitely, sitcoms are terrible. Let's just take.
They throw so much shade at just TV in any other genre.
Procedurals, sitcoms,
and then she's literally Chandler.
I know, it is funny. Like that's why I think that line is so funny. Well, I think it's time to rate the episode, guys. Right?
It's about time. Do we learn how the fire started?
Michelle.
Yeah,
it was absolutely Michelle.
I was trying to iron my tie, and I left it on.
That would be an amazing
I love that you think
revelation.
It wasn't just I was trying to burn the inn down and it did.
That's true.
Yeah, that both makes sense. Both makes sense.
He did essentially murder a cat.
Oh no, or a dog.
Yeah.
Just his neighbor's dog, pet. Which is worse.
Yeah.
Much worse than murdering a cat. Who All cares? Right. You're a cat person.
No, I just don't want to murder anything. Even spiders.
Except for Mickey Mouse. Fucking
Yeah, theoretically, but like I feel bad about the spider. Obviously, I feel bad about cats.
Here we go, Mr. Let's Not Murder Anyone. Getting on his soapbox again.
Mr. Politics.
All right. I loved a lot of parts of this episode. It was just like a very pleasant, sweet episode to watch. There wasn't anything that was like too terribly standout for me. That was like, oh man, this puts in the upper echelon. But everything I think worked well enough, and I enjoyed it throughout. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 Walmart Employee of the Month plaques.
It's really an episode like this in the show is kind of rare because it deals with a very real situation in a way that feels like filler until the very end. And honestly, like, I thought this episode was going to be a filler until they walk into the inn and see how burnt it is, because then I'm like, oh, there's going to be rebuilding and whatnot. And it's not just like, oh, yeah, there was a fire in the kitchen. Sorry, you can't go in.
Right.
And I loved that. And I love how real her decision to Yale felt, and how her decision to go to Yale felt, and how they dealt with everything. The only thing that I wish I'd seen more of is when we get episodes that feel like filler, they almost never show like relationships between different side characters. I wanted to see way more of Luke and Suki, because that one scene of them, Suki. Did you say Luki?
No, I said Suki.
Oh.
Suki and Luki.
Well, then I said Luki. But I just want to see, like, characters.
No, you said Suki.
Did I?
Suki. Suki.
Okay, Luke and Suki.
It doesn't rhyme with cookie.
That's right.
Right?
Someone tweeted that at me, I think. But
Suki Lion?
Who's that?
It was a mashup of Suki and Cookie from Empire.
Oh, that's right.
What go, would ahead, Suki go ahead, do?
No, I haven't seen Empire,
that's,
so it's just
that's
like,
good, right? It's a good show to watch.
It's a great show to watch.
Okay.
Right?
We'll Empire Boys.
Doyle, Danny Strong writes it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
He co-created it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Empire Boys.
Empire Boys. But I was going to say, like, I just want to see characters that don't ever interact just have a fun day together. Like, I want to see Michelle and Paris hang out, or
I want to see Jess and Paris hang out more.
She'll put him in his place.
Yeah.
She will.
No, that's the great thing. If Paris and Jess dated, that might work. I don't want it either. I want better for Paris. But I'm saying, like, she could, like, whip.
The amount of grease jokes we'd get just about his hair and his fucking dress.
Because she would have no patience for his bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
And especially the fact that he's, like, just a shitty person at school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to see more of that. Weirdly enough, I really liked what little stuff we got with the cat, despite the fact that I was like, get the cat out of the kitchen.
Right.
It reminded me of Early Edition with Kyle Chandler, which was like,
dude, when Fisher Stevens.
Yeah.
Post brown facing it in Short Circuit, too.
It was on his comeback period.
Yeah.
I give this episode 8 out of 10.
Ooh.
8 out of 10 oatmeals that Babette ate.
Cool. Lewis.
Like I said, I was very charmed by all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it might be because I don't watch Gilmore Girls very often unless I'm with you guys. So every time I dip into Stars Hollow, I'm always really charmed, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was a great version of that because it was so many pajamas and so much, like, you know, town flavor.
Yeah.
And I love that. I don't know. I guess also I did forget like how annoying Jess is, or perhaps like I'm coming to that realization like as an adult now. I guess overall, I thought it was a good episode, mm-hmm. not the best.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it were all just scenes of them in their pajamas like frolicking, with like Slutsky there too.
Just standing off in the distance with a whip.
Oh,
too far.
Too far, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You crossed the line.
Edit that out.
But I would give it 7 out of 10 cots.
So many cots.
7 out of 10. Man, why am I so slacking on the soundboard today? My bad.
Ooh, we got cots.
I'm going to change my rating to 8 out of 10 performances of the Raven.
Okay, fair.
I want to change mine to 7 out of 10 paperclip spider legs.
Brutal. You know what it really reminds me of is that scene in Chronicle where he dismantles the spider with his telekinesis.
I haven't seen Chronicle.
It's so good. Yeah. I loved it.
Who's that? Trank?
Yeah.
Directed it? Okay.
Fantastic Four.
Cool.
Just imagine a spider with all paperclip legs like crawling on you.
Oh,
that's a horror movie. That's a horror movie right there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and Jackson's fault. He's into that weird.
That's eight-legged freaks.
I love produce and weird shit.
It's the spider from Wild Wild West, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Just
the one
that's clinking like.
That's a steampunk spider right there.
Yeah.
The one they wanted in Superman, but then they put in Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
Do you know that story?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny. All right, now it's time for Where You Tweet, I Will Follow. where we plug our stuff and tell you gillies out there where you can find us.
In case this is your first time listening.
I know.
If you jumped into episode 317.
Lewis, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter, at Lewis Peitzman. Mm-hmm. Also on BuzzFeed.com.
Also on BuzzFeed. Lewis just did an amazing story about Stephen Sondheim. What was the occasion? Was it an anniversary?
It was
his birthday.
Yeah.
80th?
85th.
Wow, happy birthday, Stephen Sondheim.
Dag.
A little late now.
Yeah.
Well, for next year.
Well,
yeah, I do a lot of stuff. Also, I have a storytelling show that I do every month in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, if you're in L.A., this is called
Cheaper Than Therapy at Bar Lubitsch.
You host with Sarah Thayer, right?
Sarah Thayer and I host it together. Mm-hmm. Check your local listings. It's the middle Wednesday of the month, which is confusing.
The middle Wednesday.
Yeah. I don't know when this is coming out, probably after our next show.
This will come out a week from Monday.
Okay, so after our next show. But do follow Sarah Thayer and me on Twitter, and you will know when our next show is because we plug it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you should come. It's a delight.
Yeah. I've never been, but I'd love to come.
It's great. You're not doing a good job of explaining how great it is because you're not coming.
okay, I'll add this part out. I've been several times. And
I'm a huge fan.
Listen, I mean, I didn't think I could have a more transcendent live show experience than a Bruce Springsteen concert, but guys, I got proven wrong.
Thank you so much.
Go see Cheaper Than Therapy. And then you can find me everywhere at Kevin T. Porter. And yeah, that's me. I'm a simple fella. I'm just a simple fella.
I'm at Electra Lemon everywhere. Hit that clip.
I don't know if he was hot. Your grandmother's sucking face was blocking my view.
All right. Every time it's a new clip.
Yeah, that's right. And then, of course, follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter, facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show, on Instagram, Gilmore Guys Show, at Gilmore Guys Show. That one, I don't know why that took me so long to spit out.
It's a hard word.
And then email us, gilmoreguysshow@gmail.com, for our special email episodes, Gilmail Guys, or
Emaily Gilmail,
which you're still saying.
Still saying it. Emaily Gilmail.
Also, our live show is coming up, so if you're in LA and you don't have a ticket, check our Twitter about we're gonna drop a few more tickets before the show, maybe like the week before, the day of, we're not sure yet, but we'll be tweeting information about that. And if you don't get tickets online for some reason, try the standby list. They're going to cram in as many people as possible into the theater. And so, yeah. Also, big stars holla out to Paige Fernberg.
Yes.
For designing our poster, which looks super badass, super good. She she worked with us in making that and did such a phenomenal job. So she's at P. Fernberg. And she also does all those little posters we tweet on Instagram sometimes. Yeah, the typography where it's like an icon and then like a quote like, hello, sailor, or nice chicken. She makes all those. So big stars holla out to her. We love her, and thank you so much for that, Paige. So, all right, guys, we're done. Another successful trip to Stars Hollow has been completed, my good sirs and lads.
Oh, boy. Welcome to Ren Faire.
Will you sing with us this time?
Probably not.
Good enough for me.
I'm going to back away from the mic.
Okay.
I love you guys too much.
You're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold.
Take it, Lewis.
Oh, he's lip syncing it. It's kind of the same.
And I'll be there on the next train. Choo-choo, where you lead, I will follow.
Just clap.
Anywhere that you tell me to.
He's participating.
If you need me to be with you, I will follow. Oh, oh,
no, it's
where you lead.
Oh, yeah.
I will follow anywhere.
Oh, he's getting on the mic now. It's me, Lewis Weitzman.
You need me to be with you.
You sound great.
I will follow.
Thanks, guys.
Where you lead.
I didn't think I had it in me, but
I'm
I do.
So butch. I was like talking two voices at once. Crazy.
Woo!
I like that song.
Goodbye.